Happy 4th of July. Nice to see you today. We're glad you've come to share with us. You know, it's one of these holidays. I love the 4th of July. I love the 4th of July because I remember as a kid, I used to go to my grandfather's on the 4th of July, and we got to share in a big watermelon. That was awesome, you know. That was kind of like family vacation. That was what we did is for family vacation. We got to go to my papa's, and we had a great big watermelon. So I love the 4th of July, don't you? Glad that you're here. You know, it's also a tough holiday for me, and you know why? Because my dog hates fireworks. Oh my gosh, it started last night or the night before. It's like he's just all night long, all agitated because people are letting fireworks off, and then it'll be terrible tonight. It'll be even worse tomorrow night. If you live out in the country and are not affected by fireworks, would you take my dog for 2 days? Just raise your hand right now, please. It's kind of a scary time because of that for us. But anyway, happy holiday to you. We're glad that you are here. As we begin this idea about the road to recovery, as we get into this again, let me ask you a question. Do you remember your very first car? Well, I remember my very first car. My very first car was a 1968 Chevy Capri. I said a different year the first service, and a gentleman came up and said, "John, they didn't even make that car in that year." Okay, so I had to adjust my story here. It was really old, okay? But I remember this car. I actually loved this car. You know why? Because it had those vacuum headlights, those metal grills that covered up the headlights. I thought it was the Batmobile, you know, and I was, I bought this car myself, $300, man, is what it put me out, okay? This was a great car. I love this car. It was a car I had when Arlene and I got married. I could show you pictures of us riding off into the sunset in this car. You know what I remember most about the car, though, was that I never changed the oil, ever. The whole time I had the car, I never changed the oil. Now, let me tell you why. It's because I had to keep a case of oil in the trunk, and I put a quart in it every day, okay? So about every 4.6 days, it had all new oil in it. I didn't change the oil because it used so much oil that it always had a pretty fresh supply of oil. It used as much oil as it did gasoline. But it's interesting because I was thinking the other day, I was contrasting that with like the newer vehicles. We have a new vehicle, and it like tells you when it's time to change the oil, right? I mean, you don't even need to put the little sticker up in the window anymore because it'll actually tell you. You can actually punch into the dashboard stuff, and it'll tell you there's 80% left, and you're, you know, 60, and it'll count it down, and it'll let you know when it's time to change the oil. It has those side view blind spot indicators. You know, I turned my blinker on one day and it started alarming. He's like, "What's that?" It was like telling me that somebody was there. It's amazing. You know, it tells you that you have 50 miles to empty. Do you know you can drive 10 more miles after it says zero? I figured that out on my own, okay? But anyway, I don't want to push it any more than that, though. But cars are really different, aren't they? But here's what's the same about the 1968 Chevy Capri and even the newer cars today. You still have to maintain them, right? Regular maintenance. Now, it may use that synthetic oil. You may be able to go a few more miles or whatever, but you still have to maintain them. I was at the garage one day, and this lady came in. She said, "My brakes are making a noise." And the mechanic checked the brakes on this car, and he said, "Ma'am, your rotors are shredded." Okay, how long have you been driving with this noise? And I walked away at that point. I didn't want to hear anymore. Right? Have you ever done that? Have you ever heard your brakes starting to make a noise? And you're like, well, and then you put it off so long that the rotors are damaged or whatever. I mean, maintenance. You know, you gotta make sure the air pressure's right. And it's maintenance over and over and over again. It's maintenance. That's kind of what we're talking about today. This step today is about maintenance. Now, we've been looking at a lot of things with this idea of recovery, using this acrostic, understanding some really important steps in getting on the road to recovery and staying on the road to recovery. Last week, we talked to you about evaluating all your relationships and making amends where needed. Today we're going to be talking about this idea of maintenance, and we're going to use the word relapse. You see, folks, growth is not smooth. The road to recovery always is jagged. One step forward, or two steps forward and one step back, or two steps forward and three steps back. You know, the alcoholic, he goes back to drinking. The overeater gains all the weight back. The gambler goes back to the casino. The workaholic fills up his schedule again. We tend to repeat patterns of the past. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. I want to talk to you about relapse, how it happens, and how we can prevent it. Someone has defined relapse as falling back into self-defeating patterns. You ever done that? I mean, you've ever felt like that you got to a good place and then you find yourself right back where you came from? It can happen so easily, you know, and it happens in a very predictable way. You know, we become complacent. We start getting comfortable. We experience short-term gains, and we feel really good about that. And then we start saying, you know what? I don't need any help anymore. My pain has been reduced, and maybe it's not eliminated, but it's not as great as it was. And I can live with this kind of reduced pain now. How many of you have ever experienced going to a counselor? And I know Don's here. I bet you that he would say that this is true. People come and they ask for help, and after 15 or 20 minutes, and then they're like, okay, I'm done. I don't need any more. Right? They become complacent, or they become confused. They rationalize things by saying, well, maybe it wasn't so bad after all. Maybe my problem wasn't that great. Maybe I can handle it after all. You start forgetting how bad things was, and it were, and then you compromise. You go back to that place of temptation. You return to a risky situation. You get in the trouble that you were in the first place. Like the gambler who says, let's go back to Vegas. We'll just see the shows. Yeah, right. You see, that's when catastrophe comes. And what happens is we relapse. We fall back into these self-defeating patterns. Now, let me give you a couple of words in the Bible that I think really speak to this. The first one comes from Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Look at what Paul says. How can you be so foolish? You began by God's Spirit. Do you now want to finish by your own power? Or how about this word from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6? Beautiful word. It says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You will succeed because of my Spirit, though you are few and weak. Go back to that first scripture for just a moment. It's amazing because, you know, he says it's foolish that you would get to a place of safety, that you would get to a place of security, that you would get to a place where you understand you're being led by the Spirit. And you want to give that up to finish on your own power? Or as he says in Zechariah, that it's not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit that we will succeed. We will succeed by his Spirit. Have you ever asked yourself, why do we fall back? Why do we, even when we know where we came from, even when we know what the right thing to do and the right place to be, we tend to go back to these dark places in life again? Well, let me do this and talk to you about what causes a relapse, and then how you can prevent it. One of the things that causes us to relapse is our reverting back to our own willpower. That Galatians passage, how can you be so foolish? You began by God's Spirit. Do you now want to finish on your own power? I mean, we start off trusting God, and God steps in and helps us over these things that we're powerless to change. We understand that we're not God, but that we need him, and we turn our lives over to him, and we find ourselves in a pretty good place. And then all of a sudden, we think that we're strong enough and that we really don't need even God. We resort to good old willpower. And you know what, folks? It never works. You have few successes, and suddenly you think that you are all powerful, all knowing, that you can handle anything. We need at that time for someone to step in and tell us what's real and what's right. Did you ever hear about the story about the middle-aged woman went to New York City? She went to this shady-looking building. She went up to the 15th floor. She knocked on this door. A lady answered the door, and right away incense kind of came out of the room and hit this woman. And this lady that answered the door, she had a sarong on. She had little bells on her fingers, and she was dancing around. And she said to the lady, she said, Are you here to see the great and mighty Bajong? And the lady said, you know, he's all-knowing and he is all-powerful. Would you like to have an audience with him? And the lady said, yes. Would you please tell Robert that his mother is here? We need somebody that will tell us the truth. Zechariah says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. You will succeed because of my spirit. Only God has the power to take away those defects. And if we go back to relying on our own power, it's going to be a relapse. The second thing a lot of times that causes us to relapse is ignoring one of the steps. You know, we get in a hurry. We try to move very quickly. We want to skip a difficult step. For example, like last week when I was talking to you about how important it was to make amends. A lot of times people want to skip that step because it's hard and it's tough and it takes not willpower, but it takes God's power living inside of you to help you do that. And I'll guarantee you there's some of you here this morning that you were here last week and you heard the message about making amends and you thought, you know what, the first 5 weeks were pretty good and I'm doing all that, but this one here is just kind of hard. I'm just gonna leave that one alone. I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna ask God to help me, but I'm not gonna go and do to the extent that I was encouraged to do in that message. That, folks, is dangerous. Maintain your momentum. Make sure that you're doing the things necessary to get your life in order. And understand that there are no quick steps. You know, shortcuts. And the third thing that can cause us to relapse is that we try to recover without the support that we need. I just want to get along by myself. I don't need anybody else's help. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had a wife or even a husband come and say, you know what, we really need counseling, but my spouse, my wife or my husband, they just won't come. They don't think they need help. They think that it shows weakness. I've heard that over and over and over again. You're asking for a relapse if you look at life that way. Sometimes people say, you know what, I'll listen to the sermons, but I'm not going to counseling. I'm not going to Celebrate Recovery when that group starts. I'm not going to join a small group. I'll listen to these messages, and then I'll get along on my own. Wrong. It doesn't work that way. I love Ecclesiastes, where it says two are better off than one. Because if one falls down, the other one can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's too bad because there's no one there to listen and to lift him up or help him. Folks, to a large degree, we can't do this on our own. And in order to avoid a relapse, we need to get support in our life. But a lot of times, denial keeps us from seeking that kind of needed support. What's the cause? Let me give you another one. A lot of times, it's simply just pride. We become prideful. We become overconfident. I'm strong. I've got this hurt licked. I've got this habit licked. I've forgiven them. I've closed the door. It's okay. Listen to Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction. Matter of fact, let me say it to you this way. You either stay humble or you stumble. A lot of times we stumble because of our pride. A man gets too big for his britches. And he doesn't think that he needs anybody else's help. But the biggest problem with pride is that it causes us to blame others for our own problems. I mean, how many times have you seen this? How many times have you experienced this? The devil tries to convince us that we are not the ones with the problem, that it's always somebody else. That's never a good place to be. We're kind of like the guy who went to the psychiatrist and said, I've got a problem, I think. Psychiatrist said, I'm going to show you some pictures. You tell me what you see, and then I'm going to tell you what your problem is. He holds up a picture of a square. The guy says, well, I see an apartment window, and inside there's a couple making love. He holds up a circle, and the man says, I see a beautiful white beach and a beach umbrella, and underneath it there's a couple making love. He holds up a triangle and says, I see a beautiful reservation and an Indian teepee, and inside the teepee there's a couple making love. The psychiatrist says, I don't need to hear any more. I know what your problem is. You're obsessed with sex. And the man said, me, obsessed with sex? You're the one showing me all the dirty pictures. Right? I mean, it's always somebody else's fault. It's not my problem. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So if you think you're standing, watch out that you do not fall. Let me tell you something, folks. The secret of lasting recovery is to live life with humility. It is the best protection for a relapse. Don't get prideful. Don't think that you have it all together. Don't think that you don't need anybody else. Now, think about it. That's what causes it. But as believers, how do we prevent it? I mean, what can I do to prevent a relapse? It's all about maintenance. You know, we're talking about that car analogy. I mean, I know people who have a car that's older than that 1968 Chevy Capri that I had. I remember, you know, Jim Harding, he had that 1953 or something, Willie Jeepster, that he drove all the time. You know, it was like pristine. You know the difference? Maintenance. Maintenance. And as believers, we have to make sure that we are doing the things necessary to keep ourselves from relapsing, that we do not fall into our old ways of life. Mark 14, 38 says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He's saying that it's human nature to have a relapse. We're all going to mess up. But there are some things that we can do. There's some safeguards that'll help us, keep us from relapsing. Here's the first thing. The first thing is about evaluation. 1 Corinthians 13 says, check up on yourselves. Lamentations tell us to let us examine ourselves and then repent. We have to examine ourselves. We have to have this evaluation. Think about it. We do it physically. We ask ourselves the question, what's my body telling me? How do I feel? We know, where's my pain? We do it emotionally. How am I feeling right now? How am I feeling in my heart and in my soul? We allow our feelings to come to the surface. You know, we do it relationally. Am I at peace with everyone? We try to maintain peace with other people in our families. But then there's so much of this that we just ignore. I mean, we need to do that spiritually and ask ourselves, am I relying on God? Moment by moment, am I in touch with Him? You know, do I do an inventory of my life? Think about it. We do inventories at work, and we make lists that we need to pick up at the grocery store. You know, we take fruit off our counter that's spoiled and we throw it away. We do all these things to maintain our life, but then to some degree we ignore the most important things in life. You know, let me ask you another question. How do you clean your house? You know, I got this sister that kind of, she waits on a speck of dust to fall in her home. You know, she follows the grandkids around and picks up their toys as they lay them on the floor. She combs, for heaven's sake, her fringe on her rug in her living room. It's just unbelievable how detailed she is about this. She doesn't wash dishes, she washes a dish. One by one, as they're dirtied, they're clean, dried, and put back into the couch. I have never seen a bed unmade in her home, and I've been there when she gets up in the morning. I think she makes the bed before she gets out of the bed. I mean, she's just like that. Are you like that? You know, like this clean freak? And then there's other people that like pick up at the end of the day. You know, they kind of put things back in order at the end of the day. You know, they clean, they make sure everything's good. They clean periodically when people come to visit, you know, things like that. And then there's those that's like, clean? What do you mean clean? Right? You never do it. I think people do that same thing spiritually. And listen, I just encourage you not to be freakish the way that these clean freaks are, but to pay attention to the things in your life that need some attention. Make sure that you're doing that. You're taking inventory. You're making sure that the things that are there are the things that you need in life and for your spiritual well-being. It's just about this kind of maintenance, this kind of evaluation. There's a second thing, though, that's equally important, and that's meditation. Now, listen to me. Give me a minute of your time here to explain this. Meditation is a good biblical concept that's been co-opted by a lot of other people. Here's simply what meditation means. Meditation means slowing down long enough to hear God. And you know what? I think to some degree, that's exactly what causes a lot of people to relapse. They never slow down long enough or often enough to hear God. You see, because busyness stifles recovery and growth. You know, this, folks, is the secret of spiritual strength. And it's something that we're losing, I think, in today's culture, just because of the way that we do life. You know, we're so connected to our smartphones and you know, to all the social media kind of stuff that we never take this time to just be really quiet and hear God speak to us. Listen to Psalm 1:1-3. It says, happy are those who are always meditating on God's laws and thinking about ways to follow Him closely. They are like trees on a river that do not dry up. They succeed in everything that they do. You see, folks, the key to growth is to have your roots deep in God, deep in God's Word. That's meditation. And every one of us need to hear from God. We need to listen to God's Word. He says, if you meditate, that you will succeed in everything that you do. You know this beautiful part of this property right here? Everybody talks about how awesome our building is, and it is an awesome building. But right outside that door, on top of that mountain right there behind the building, is a beautiful spot. This time of year, you can go up there. I was up there not long ago. You can go up there this time of year, and the foliage on the trees will block out everything. You can't see this building. You can't see anything. You're just up there. You're in the middle of the woods, and it seems like that you're far away from everything. We don't go to those places near enough. Disconnect from all of the internet and our cell phones and telephones and everything, and just sit down and listen to what God might be saying to us. Listen, I know you know how to worry, but do you know how to meditate? Did you know that worry is simply negative meditation? Think about it. Worry, you take a negative thought and you think about it over and over and over again. You take a verse in the Bible and you think about it over and over and over again. What's it called? It's called meditation. So if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. The final thing I think that can help us to prevent a relapse is simply prayer. talking to God. You know, it's you telling God that, God, I don't have the strength to overcome this, but you do. You know, it's you getting in touch with the Spirit of God. You know, laying in bed at night and saying this prayer, Father in heaven, hear my prayer and grant it if you can. Help me with my weakness and with my difficulty in life. Because you know what? If you don't do that, if you don't meditate, if you don't pray, then you will relapse and you will fall back in your old ways. Because you know what? All of us are one temptation away, one moment of weakness away of starting to go back rather than forward. You know, just recently, I went through a drive-through at a local place here. I got my order. I paid the young lady for my order, and I was looking at the money, and I started to pull away, and then I thought, wait a minute, that's not right. And I noticed how much it was and then how much she gave me. She gave me $5 too much. Had an extra $5 bill in my change. So I just stopped from pulling out, and I rolled the window back down, and I got the young girl's attention, and she came over, and I said, ma'am, you gave me too much money here, and I gave her the $5 bill back, and she thanked me. And then she said this, I know who you are. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this could have been so different. She could have gone back and said, you know that stinking preacher up the road? He took five extra bucks from me. Aren't you glad in those moments in time when you're tempted, when you're encouraged by the devil to revert back to maybe some old ways of thinking, old ways of living? And you say, no, I'm not going to relapse. I'm going to choose a different way. I'm going to continue to evaluate and to maintain my life, and I'm going to meditate. If I can worry, I can meditate on the good things of God. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask for God's strength to be my strength. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us of the wrongs that we have done as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. Do not bring us to temptation, but keep us safe from the evil one. Now, I want you to notice a couple things about that prayer. First, I want you to notice the word how. How he says we should pray. This is how you should pray. It's a model. It's not a ritual. It's a model, and we are to pray to him in that way. And then secondly, notice that everything that we need comes from him and not from us. So here's the thing, folks. We're all going to face relapse. Whatever hurt, whatever habit, whatever hang up we have, there will be times when we relapse. And when we understand why we relapse and then what we can do to keep from relapsing, then we're faced with a choice. A choice every day. And you know what, folks? It's a choice that we all need to take very serious. You know, I said to you there in the beginning that this step was all about maintenance. Have you ever ignored maintenance for your car? I have. You know, you see that light on and you just ignore it. You know, you look at that number up there and you think, well, I'm only 7,000 miles over. Or we even see the inspection sticker and we're like, oh my goodness, that was due last month. I'll do that real soon. You see, folks, we can ignore and suffer the consequences of that lack of maintenance to our vehicles and to our home and everything. But the same is true with your life spiritually. If we ignore that, then we will fall back into our old ways. And a lot of times it becomes worse than it's ever been. So when we have those times, we must choose. You know, the neat thing is that Jesus said that as often as you need forgiveness, ask it. So we don't have to worry that he will not help us, even when we go through these times, or we relapse, when we make bad choices. You know, I read recently, and I'm done with this. I read recently that people that are in rehab for addictions, that it takes them on average, 9 times. 9 times before they overcome it. Now, those of you and all of us in here, you know, we've dealt with people that are in rehab, and you think, oh my goodness, over and over and over again. How many rehabs have they been in? How many times have they gone through this? On average, it's 9 times before a person finally gets freedom from that addiction. So God will be faithful as long as we still make choices of wanting to be close to him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you today for this beautiful word that tells us that we will succeed because of your spirit living in us. And Father, I pray right now for every person in this room who maybe has relapsed or is close to relapsing, or maybe, Lord, they've just made a new, refreshed commitment to you and to their wholeness and wellness in life. God, for all of us, I just pray that we would be so close to you, we would be so in tune to the spiritual maintenance that needs to be done in our lives, that we'll just maintain a wonderful, beautiful, healthy relationship in you. And Father, just be with us now as we make these decisions. And I pray, Lord, that you would be very close to anyone here today that needs to make that decision for you. Impress upon their heart, Lord, that all they have to do is just to turn their heart and soul to you, over to you, and allow you, Lord, to live in them, to be born again. So, God, I pray that as we sing this wonderful old song, that we'll understand, Lord, that you'll take us right where we are, but that, Lord, you'll love us too much to leave us there. So may we trust you, Lord, in all that we need. In Jesus' holy name, amen.